morning, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. We're joining you live tonight from Hallelujah Acres. Glad to have you in here tonight with us. Got a great program for you. It's going to be part two of Set Your House in Order. We got some announcements to make to you. We're coming up on Passover next week. My, how time really moves on when you're having fun. Praise Yahweh. Well, the Passover is going to be starting on the night of the 27th. Now, that's going to be on a Thursday night here next week. And we've done got the old gospel tent up. We worked all day on her, and we got her up, and we are now readying ourselves for the festival. We're welcoming you to the second Passover. It's a great mystery how that the second Passover is overlooked in the scriptures. But tonight, we are thankful that Yahweh has blessed us with enough knowledge to know exactly when the true Passover would start, according to the scattered abroad sheep of his pasture. You see, we're not in that sandbox. We're not over there where they're arguing and fussing over a piece of turf that Israel has been evicted from, never to return, according to the scriptures. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's very, very important for you to know that we're not to return to where we came from. Now, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, why aren't we to go back to that place called Israel over? And you see, Israel had ceased from being a place in 721 B.C., everybody forgot about Israel. The deported Israelites were scattered abroad. Now, as they came across the Caucasus Mountains and they traced their tracks, if you trace their tracks back or their trail of many sorrows because of their disobedience, they were cast out. But for the overall plan that Yahweh blessed them with to have a place that they were to flee to. Now, where would that be? What nation upon the earth is a place of refuge? Well, let me give you 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 10. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people, Israel. Very, very direct, isn't it? And will plant them. Now, that means that he's going, remember now, when he wrote this in Samuel, they were already planted. Joshua had led them into a land that was called the land of milk and honey and planted them. They became 12 tribes. And through their disobedience, they were scattered to the four winds. And as you replant a people who would forget their identity. Notice this again. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own. After being vagabonds, wanderers, travelers, scattered is the word. Then I will bring them to a place of their own. I wonder where that was. What country tonight has been abundantly blessed above all nations on the earth? Well, that's America. Now, what's wrong with America today? We're going to deal with that tonight, and we're going to tell you exactly what's wrong with America. And listen, and they will move no more. They will move no more. They will move no more. Now, I want to ask you a question. What nation do you think is the greatest nation upon the earth? And since that they have taken their place and prominence of history, the United States over 250 years has been prominent. And today, in spite of all of the sin, in spite of all the wickedness, we are still head and shoulders above every nation in the earth. And, you know, wonder why that Yahweh is bringing us down to our knees. Well, we're gonna deal with that tonight, and we're gonna give you the second part of set your house in America in order. And here's how we're gonna do it. We're gonna go to the Book of Psalms, chapter 37. And although I may not, and probably won't, have time to read the whole chapter, I would like to start in verse 1. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Now, we have in our country, running our country, we have a set of evildoers. Neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall be soon cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in Yahweh and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. I've never seen a righteous forsaken or his seed a bag and bread. Delight yourself also in Yahweh, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Now, I want to ask you a question. Where are your desires? Is it to serve Yahweh? Or is it to chase through greed the almighty evil dollar that the evil have brought to America? And let me tell you what the Messiah said in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 23. Listen to this now. And thou, Capernaum, which has exalted itself unto heaven, you shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Matthew 11, 23. Now, let me give you an analogy of what he said. Hey, listen up, the city that I preached in, Capernaum. If you hadn't exalted yourself with pride and envy and evil works, you could have got my message. But your sins and your iniquity and your pride is going to be your downfall. For if Sodom, the most wicked, evilest city, and we're going to get into what made them evil, and we're going to parallel the consequences of Sodom to the consequences of America. Now, why would America receive chastisement from Yahweh? Well, it's simply because that America will not repent. What he was basically saying here in Matthew 11 was, look, if Sodom had had your opportunity, Capernaum, they would have repented a long time ago. And it would have still been a city, a pleasant, righteous city, through its repentance. So you can do all the things that they were doing in Sodom and be forgiven. We're all sinners. And the problem with us is because we will not repent. turn from our evil ways. Woe unto the inhabitants of America. Americans are as guilty as Sodom and Gomorrah, and will have the same consequences of Capernaum if we don't repent. We've become a stiff-necked nation of child murders, abortions. We are a nation of fornicators, and that has consequences. Deep, unforgiven. Every sin that is done with your body is forgiven, except with fornication. Now, why would not fornication be forgiven? It's because fornicating is taking the righteous blood of Jacob Israel, the Caucasian race, and mixing it with another blood and becoming guilty of adultery. Adulteration of blood. Fornicating of blood. Just like Esau. He fornicated his blood over to the seed of Cain. Just like Judah, when he married the beautiful Canaanite woman, Yeshua, and produced the offspring of Er, Onan, and Shelah. Shelah survived, went down to Egypt, and there for 400 years, he mixed his blood through the ignorance of Jacob. Abraham was oblivious and blind to what Yahweh's plan was. Isaac was oblivious and blind to what Yahweh's plan was. And certainly, Jacob, when he produced this son, Judah, who in the 46th chapter and the 12th verse brought a Canaanite son with Jacob. Jacob accepted him. Now, why would he do that? The serpent was mixing his seed bloodline, probably unbeknownst to Jacob. Surely he did know it. For had he have known that this was a half-Canaanite son and a half-Israelite son, I don't believe that he would have permitted it. Now, you may take issue with that. But we have become a nation of stiff-necked, uncircumcised, child murderers, fornicators, liars, idolaters, homosexuals, pornographers, promise breakers, effeminists, drunkards, gamblers, perverters, and false worshipers is one of the things that Yahweh has always frowned upon and has brought his wrath down upon his people because of idolatry. Going after strange gods. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so sad today to know that America is in trouble. Look offshore. Look what's going on. We are enamored with excitement. We're like worshiping the gladiators, the sports figures. We've become idol worshipers, American Idol. That's the name of a popular television show that people just go ape about. Celebrity worship. We want to know what happened to the movie stars. We are a nation of adulterers, adulteries. We're a nation of idol worshipers. We are a nation, if you will, a whole nation of pleasure worshipers. We love pleasure. We love to be entertained, whether it's in the religious world, or whether it's in the secular, or whether it's just entertainment from the televisions that are set in as idols in our houses where we literally cannot put the remote down. We don't study the Bible. We're given over to idol worship. The Bible says that the image that's created will both speak and cause people to bow down. You ever notice how people sit down and they worship their televisions? They know the schedule. I mean, we got cable systems, the satellite system, that will bring it right into your home, even the filth and pornography. For a fee, you can get all of these things and entertain your carnal flesh man when your spiritual man is starving and denied access to the Father through the Spirit. For Yahweh is seeking such a people to worship Him in spirit and truth, and He is and has always been and always will be a jealous God. He will have no other gods before Him. Celebrity worship. People want to keep up with the beautiful people. They create these idols. Women all across America, they're filling the beauty salons. They're putting on the adorning of the outward. Don't help men if they go. Be nice if they could help men. Most men are ugly as homemade soap. And beauty shops won't help. But did you know the most beautiful people in the world are the plain people? The plain-dressed women? That do not try to attract attention to themselves. That, ladies and gentlemen, is now being replaced with women that are getting plastic surgery. Some of these women that are 60 year old look like they're 35. They stretch their skin. The surgeons know how to cut and tweak and tweak all the wrinkles from your eyes, your forehead, and around your lips. They can actually insert substance, Botox, a poisonous. These women will actually literally take minute amounts of poison Botox into their cheeks to fill out the wrinkles and the lines and around their eyes and their lips. They can expertly, the surgeons can, they can cut beneath your chin or behind your ear, and they can pull and sew and tighten up the wrinkles under your neck, a double chin. That's no problem for the plastic surgeons and breast implants to make you look like Dolly Parton. Thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness to anything. This is Exodus chapter 20, verse 4 and 5, the second of the Ten Commandments. Couldn't be any more clear. Thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, so that, or the water under the earth, that thou shalt bow down thyself to them, and you should not serve them, for I am Yahweh, and I am a jealous God, set your house in order, America. Did you see that word, jealous, there in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus? Do you think that our Creator isn't jealous when you think about movie actors and rock stars all day long, or you want to look like them? But you say, wait a minute, I didn't worship any celebrity as a god. Well, when women are rushing to get plastic surgery to look like these 60 and 70 year old women that look like they're in their 30s and 40s, and the clothes that people wear to seduce you, beautiful women will actually, they will go into surgery and have the fat off the rear end sucked out literally by the bucketful. I mean, it's incredible. It's most one of the most hideous looking operations that you can ever see. They put these plungers that's got suction, and they go up under your skin and insert a tube of suctions, and they suck out all of the fat out of your body to make you look like you are 20 pounds lighter. Just think about, if you, now, one of the most popular programs on TV now is The Biggest Loser. You know, for decades, we've been going through the fast food industry, and we can't wait to get to McDonald's because we have one of those Mac attacks, and we got to have one. Anything that you see on the dumb tube, suggestive, your children have to have it. And they expertly put in little toys and little gimmicks and little tricks. People's minds are consumed with celebrity, with music. I mean, people sit around all day long and just listen to rock music. It would drive my mind silly. I can't even imagine somebody that could hook up a set of headphones and listen to this wicked metallic rock. It is satanic, this rap crap. I mean, the airwaves, every time you change your channel on your radio hunting for something presentable or admissible, and you'll turn your radio daily trying to find something. If you're righteous, and then you finally just cut off the radio or put in a CD or a message, and we have filled our minds with the things of the world. We know the TV schedule was on channel 783. Don't even blink an eye. They've been up there so many times, they know the channel. They learn them. You have your favorites. And most of these are despising and rejecting and loathe Yahweh's word, which is forever settled in heaven. Nothing can be added to it. And well has Elias prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Mark 7:6. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you know that all these things that we are now in tune with, don't you know that our earth is being destroyed, literally? And you say, oh, don't worry about it. I've heard about this global warming crap. Ladies and gentlemen, I understand that some of the elite just like the military or the defense. They forced their wars, just like now they have come up with this global warming crap to make enormous sums of money. Enormous sums. However, I am going to assure you tonight that there definitely is a change in your weather. It's nature. As it is changing from good to bad in some areas and bad to good in other areas. Where it used to get no rain, it gets too much. Where it used to get the right amount, it is now scorching for the lack of rain. Where you used to get a normal snowfall, now it's packing up under the roofs and weighting the roofs down till they cave in. Listen to this scripture. And then this is in the book of Revelations, chapter 11, and I often quote it because it is proper to the things that we live in, or the things that we've got to live in and put up with. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath. Now, I told you Wednesday night about the wrath of Yahweh. He's coming back in flame and fire, in wrath, taking vengeance on those who will not set their house in order, those who will not repent, those who will not turn from their wicked ways, those who will not confess their sins. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward to your servants. Oh, man. Servants don't get no reward this day and time. Very few people even acknowledge a prophet. They will acknowledge false prophets and worship them, because these false prophets are like the plastic surgeons. They expertly go around the meaning of Yahweh's word in conviction and wrath to present to you a no harm, you don't have to do anything, God, because God prospers the paying, praying, and the saying crowd. But notice this. But for them that fear your name, small and great, shall be rewarded. For them that fear your name, small and great, shall be rewarded. Now, does that mean you're going to be rewarded here or at the end day? Here it says the end day. You'll receive no honor among these heathen churches. They won't recognize a prophet. They will not honor a prophet. They will not support a prophet. They have turned and twisted like the plastic surgeon or the movie stars or the idol worship or the unborn children, at that they take these forces and force out the baby before it's to be born. Fully developed. Take a set of pliers, basically, is what it amounts to, and yank them from the wounds of these young girls that get pregnant and are talked in to have an abortion. And most of these women that do it are white, middle to upper class women that have not got any time to waste on children. That leaves your poor. And that leaves your miscegenated races or races of color to breed 10 to 1 over the Caucasian people. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, there's plenty wrong with it. That thou shouldest come and destroy them that destroy the earth. Now, look out in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. BP has literally lied and stalled the amount of oil until it is now wreaking havoc all along the coast and the marshlands and the sanctuaries for birds and for fish and for the fish beds that lie along the coast of Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, and now into Florida, and around through the water, we have now this oil that is probably, if not stopped, will probably pollute the whole eastern Atlantic coastline. Now that's up into New York, New Jersey, and all points north. Massachusetts, Maine, the beautiful states that we have coastal, the huge amount of people on the East Coast, where large segments of population are there. At the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, the news can't wait to give you bad news that they're destroying the earth. And people, it's just like Russian roulette. We're spinning the chamber with a loaded round and putting the gun to our head and snapping the trigger and hoping that we're not going to blow our brains out. Sooner or later, we are going, at the end of the day, pay as was Capernaum, as did Sodom, as did Gomorrah, as did the wicked in the days of Noah. How can America escape except it set its house in order and repent and turn to Yahweh? Now, you look at some of the, you know, in our day, the pinup girls, I don't know. We go back to Marilyn Monroe and Jane Mansfield. I mean, every GI had a picture, a half-naked picture of these up. It was cool to have your walls. Now young children have these walls decorated with the likes of Miley Cyrus, the little idol, the little teeny bopper idol. Young children, especially the girls, are imitating her. They are enamored with these idols that are growing up. And while we watch these things, or we give our attention to these idols, look what's happening to your real world. Jobs are failing. America is miserably, pathetically sick, spiritually speaking. More and more people are fleeing to the mountains. Well, what did the Bible say? In the days of the end, when you see these things come to pass, Matthew 24, flee where? I don't know. There's something about a mountain that hides you. You can't see over to the next big city. How would you like to live in the middle of New York? Better yet, how would you like to live downtown Chicago, Milwaukee, Detroit, Michigan, Flint, Michigan, San Francisco, Los Angeles, California? Oh, my. Thank you, Yahweh, that my eyes are looking out now at a solid, beautiful forest here on Hallelujah Acres. I don't see the filth. We don't even have a television here. We can't even get cell phone service here. Happy day. We have got so modern and so fashioned into modern fashionery that we're picking the trends. We have to keep up with the clothes. We have to buy the music. Did you know more still, I think, the third largest record-selling artist, entertainer in the world today. They won't even let their idols rest. Even beyond the grave, they are tormented as they have to see what they have created through this facade of celebrity worship as they fall into this for filthy lucre, and yet Elvis Presley died a miserable and sad individual. It was sad. Everywhere he went, he was expected to be nothing but a hound dog or a whole lot of shaking going on. He tried to live to that image until he had to turn. When he looked in the mirror, he saw wrinkles, saw himself getting old, and the persona that had been projected as they made him into a teeny-beeny idol with a host of worshipers, and then interest began to wane. He himself became disenchanted with his own persona, sought a deeper meaning in life, and died with a book about the Savior clutched in his hands. Think about all those people that are still going out and spending money, and if you could resurrect him from the dead, he would say, please don't make this mistake that I made. Please warn the people in Capernaum, in San Francisco, in New Orleans, in New York, Chicago, Detroit, Flint, Michigan, Ann Arbor. We could go on and on. Memphis, Tennessee was Graceland. People flocked down there still to see the memory of an idol. Could you, or would you, if you could raise Elvis Presley from the dead? Oh, you say, well, Pastor, but he's not dead. He's not in the hearts of a lot of people. They won't let him die. They keep his memory going. But if you could resurrect him and then get his honest opinion, do you believe that he would suggest for you to go out and still worship idols? Because he became a movie star, an entertainer, that actually women would faint. Young girls would actually literally faint wearing stylish clothes. They take the opportunity of finding examples to imitate in the glossy magazine. The most important question that we've got to ask ourselves is why a person should take somebody or something as an example and try to imitate them. Three stages of disease, meaning that when you sin and start worshiping idols and committing idolatry and fornication and adultery, these three things will sink your life into a life of sin and torment at the last days when Yahweh is going to come back to destroy them that destroy their earth. I'd just like for you to look at that 18th verse. People are literally destroying the earth. They don't care. Do you think BP, which made somewhere in the area of $65 billion, that they're going to care about capping a well when the rest of their well is you're buying their gasoline? They're raking in more money per minute than a week's worth of oil would pump out of into the ocean bed to kill everything in the ocean. The Bible says every living thing is going to eventually die in the ocean as a result of Revelation chapter 11, verse 18. It is awful. We are basically in a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. It's going to get worse. Right now, we are forming the formula for another world war. That'll bring good times. We'll start manufacturing again. We'll build tanks and planes and missiles and bombs, and we will maim and cripple and murder innocent children. And Christians will wave their flag as the government will create another a false flag and give us a reason to rally around our flag against some enemy or some camel jockey in a foreign desert with a walkie-talkie. It is. It's awful. How are we going to escape idol worship when we have idol worship, idolatry, adultery, and fornication all through the land as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah? Who, if they'd have heard the gospel that was preached to them by the prophet, the mighty one, when he went through there, he could not do miracles because of their unbelief. They were so engrossed in the things of the world, the pleasures of the world, the sins of the world, they would not, they could not turn to Yahweh in repentance to have their city or their land healed as we have an opportunity here. Not many people are listening into Shorewave tonight. I guarantee you there's a sports event tonight that people are tuning into by the millions. I guarantee you when Celebrity Idol America or American Idol comes on, they will literally be millions to billions of people tune in. We're given to idol worship. We don't have our house in order, and we're setting the example because we bow down before the evil and worship. Say, well, I think I'll fast tomorrow. I can't do it right now. My favorite program's on. I'm telling you, I went to witness the people in their homes. They don't even cut the TV off. They don't want to talk about religion. They don't want to talk about Yahweh. They don't want to talk about righteous living. They're obsessional in replacing the conventional relationship with Yahweh to worshiping these idols that they enjoy. Everybody's got something that they do to enjoy, a hobby. Some people fish all the time. You should read your Bible and study before you ever go fishing. And people mock at you when you mention the lunar Sabbath. Oh my God, I never heard of such idiocy. Don't you know Saturday is the Sabbath? I'm a seventh-day keeper myself. That's on Saturn's day. Ladies and gentlemen, we have drifted so far to the left and to the right of reality that neither the right or the left has got a clue, just like the people of Capernaum. They did not have a clue that their house was out of order. They didn't, their minds, their foolish minds was darkened. Their heart was seared. Oh, we're not doing wrong. I've got as much right to do this as you've got to do that. Oh, you think you're the only one right? Disobedient. Unthankful, unholy, proud, blasphemers who resist the Holy Ghost and the truth and the hardness of its word. They despise the righteous. They mock They mocked Elijah. Like I said Wednesday night, they mocked Moses. They made fun of the fanatics. Elisha, they mocked him. Go up, old bald head. Go up, Elijah. You old bald head. You're just an ugly old prophet. You need to go and have you a toupee sewed into your scalp. Our hearts are seared with a hot iron, and we don't know that we are in desperate trouble. It will come upon you as a thief in the night because you haven't given yourself to Yahweh. We'll be here at Hallelujah Acres. We'll be looking for you. We'll be praying for you that Yahweh could come into your heart and encourage you to take time out in your life. You're never going to get too rich, no way. Money is just an object of lust to run for. Work will be here when you're dead and gone. The steel mills that were operating in World War I building the war machines, the people and the steel, both are gone. Just a memory. What they fretted themselves over is now just a memory. Very few people even remember back to World War I, World War II, and the future time, they're not even concerned about World War III. They're not concerned about coming to the mountains and worshiping an old-fashioned festival called Passover. The second Passover. The greatest revelation in Yahweh's feast is being taught right here at Hallelujah Acres, and just a few will get it. Straight is the way, and there's the gate, and a few that will take time out to ride over the highways and the byways and come back here on this old river where the old Cherokees out of the house of Dan fished these waters and hunted long before Columbus discovered America. The house of Israel was here. We mined the ore in the Great Lakes. We had depositories in the great state of Illinois. Here in the Back Creek Stones, right in a stone throw where I'm at, the ancient paleo of the Cherokee language where they developed their dialect is right here. Sequoia and Hallelujah. Well, you can write me tonight. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Sponsored by Dr. Gary and Brother Paul tonight. And we're going to all be in festival here starting Thursday night of this coming week. Make your plans to be with us. We're just old-fashioned people, country people. We're going to be in an old-fashioned tent, nothing fancy. We just wear denim, cotton, leather boots. That's all. We're not high fashion. We don't go to the beauty salon and have our nails done. We've been working all day on an old, used, second-handed U.S. Army surplus tent, which is in pretty good shape, I'm glad to say. Got her up, ready for you to come and worship with us to praise Yahweh. Don't be like Capernaum. Don't be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Do not be like Los Angeles or New York or any of these other cities that have forgot him and went a-whoring in their idol worships. Tonight, television is roaring around the country full of idol worshipers. They can't turn it off. They're so hooked. They can't get off of drugs. They are in the celebrity worship syndrome, the CWS. And I could say more on that, but I won't right now. But call me tonight. I'm live at Hallelujah Acres. 423-338-1966. 472. Now that's 423-338-1972. I'll see you again, ladies and gentlemen. I'll see you Monday night, as we're here on Saturday night, sponsored by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey. We're here for the fellowship, and we're here to preach you to don't be like Capernaum, turn from your wicked ways. We love you. I'll see you Monday night as we get ready to start our second Passover here on the Hiwassee River, right here in the beautiful mountains of East Tennessee. Yahweh bless you, and shalom, and peace be upon you, and I love you, and looking forward to seeing you.